As Jimmy Eat World reminds us, everything will be just fine. Everything will be all right, all right. And this is the Fat Man Chronicles.
I was not hiding. I was unsure. And I was really
Well, welcome to episode 7 of the Fat Man Chronicles. Gretchen's already laughing. Today, more than ever, on this episode, we are going to prove that we are really a regular couple on the journey with you to health, fitness, and weight loss. And what a week, 4 days it's been. Recording a little late this week.
We are. For good reason, though.
For good reason. And for the first time in Fat Man Chronicles podcast history, sadly, no wine.
No wine.
And there's good reason for that too. And it all ties together. So I'm going to have to embarrass the heck out of myself today. And I'm also going to possibly throw in a couple of swear words, but nothing too bad, hopefully. But just as a warning, if you listen with kids, I might say one or two. And what we all know from the first 6 episodes of the Fat Man Chronicles and those that have known me in real life all these years, I am a giant pain in the ass.
And
this week, the world decided to get even with me and really give me a giant pain in the ass. So here's a confession. As a fat guy, we battle hemorrhoids. We don't get to talk about it a lot because they're disgusting, but they're painful and they're a reality.
Yes.
I know women struggle with them too at times, but it usually is through pregnancy, but I don't know how, if overweight women do or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I do know overweight men do a lot and they suck.
I'll take your word for that.
Yeah.
You
know they do.
Well, yes. From secondhand.
So this week, I was having what I thought my normal hemorrhoid problems are. And I've had them for years, off and on. Sometimes they go away, but not really. They're always lingering there.
So many choices of words.
I know. People have turned this off.
They're no longer listening.
In a way, I kind of hope they do. And we all know I'm a wuss.
Extreme.
However, this week, when it hit Thursday, and I go down to work at our store in the city of Chicago, and I have plans, and I'm going to go to the Hawks game with my dad, and we all know how much I love the Blackhawks.
Yep.
And we're going to go to Viaggio, and we all know how much I love Viaggio. And I canceled.
Because you're a wuss.
Because I'm a wuss.
But at least that's what I was thinking. I'm like, Right. Seriously? Because I had my own plans. I had stuff I was going to do.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, no.
Then I come home and I think you could see by the look on my face, the pale whiteness going on, that I was in a lot of pain.
Yes.
And again, I thought it was, okay, I have a really bad hemorrhoid. This is going to suck, but I need to suck it up.
Even though I said, hey, at 3 o'clock, I said, hey, why don't we go to the doctor? And you're like, no, there's nothing they can do.
Right. And I don't like doctors.
No.
I don't know a lot of people who do, but I really despise them. So if you take all of this together, for me to climb into a car and drive myself to the emergency room at 11 o'clock at night on Thursday was a big deal.
Now, people are now going to be like, what do you mean Gretchen let you drive yourself to the emergency room?
Not much
what
choice.
Kind of wife was there? No, we had a choice.
Well,
we could have called in some help, you know,
I really thought they were going to give me a couple of pieces of medicine that I've had in the past and it would suck,
so,
but it would subside.
So yeah, he would not let me take him to the ER. So I just want to make sure I don't want to lose my own, you know, my following of people that love me.
No. Everybody knows you carry the podcast. Everybody knows you carry this family. Nobody's doubting any of this. But my dad did meet me over there.
Yes, he did.
So it was nice to have somebody there. And they basically told me exactly what I didn't want to hear, which was, look, you've got a hemorrhoid. It looks pretty bad, but there's not much we can do. Go get this medicine and it should help. And you went to the 24-hour pharmacy because I'm at this point yelping in pain.
Yeah, you kind of woke me up. I mean, I didn't go to bed because one, I was concerned for you. And two, I was watching my cubbies play in you know.
Right. That didn't go well either.
No, they won that one.
Oh, they won that one?
That was the game five.
Oh, then they didn't win over the weekend.
They didn't win over the weekend.
Look, my timeline's really off right now.
So
I was not, I mean, in my defense, I was knocked out not that long ago. So anyway, I go and the stuff just doesn't work.
No.
And we had gotten a referral to a GI doctor.
Right.
That's what didn't make a lot of sense to me, but I'm like, well, if that's what I got to do, that's what I got to do.
Exactly.
And you called and got me in.
Yes. They were able to see us we had 11 o'clock appointment with him.
Right.
And he went there, we got there, and he basically said, I'm not too sure why you're here because there's nothing I can do for you.
He did examine it though.
He did examine.
And he was a little more concerned.
Right.
Than the emergency room that I had to see two doctors at because the first one didn't write anything on the chart, which was great because, you know, I'm not painful there already.
Right.
Let's have some more people look and poke and prod. And he says, you need to see a surgeon.
Yes.
And he's like, you're in obvious discomfort. And everybody in the entire building, probably a good city block, knew I was in a lot of discomfort at this point. And they called and got an appointment for the same day.
Or so we thought.
And this is where the plot thickens. We get there and there's no appointment.
No.
For the following Wednesday.
And I thought at that point you were just going to collapse. Like your look on your face. And I think the receptionist saw the look. I mean, they can see the pain they could see the pain, but there's the look of just, oh my God, now what am I going to do? Was so apparent that I was like, okay, I said, all right, then we're just going. Cause we're at Elmhurst Hospital. We were attached to that. And I'm like, okay, we're just going to go to the ER. And they're like, well, hold on.
The ER won't do anything probably.
They probably won't do anything. Let's talk to one of my medical assistants here. We'll get you in for 5 minutes to have this conversation with them.
Yeah. And she was great. And
yes.
Right away knew there's a real problem here.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I didn't have an appointment and they agreed to see me still, but the doctor was already 2 hours behind.
Yeah.
Behind. So
people now have just turned off the podcast basically after that joke.
They should have a long time ago. So we come home for a little while just so that I could not be in public yelping.
Right.
And at this point, I haven't slept. So I'd gotten up Thursday at my normal time, 5:45-ish in the morning. And I have not slept. This is now Friday at about 5. Mm-hmm. So I hadn't slept in about 36 hours at that point. So I'm not doing well. The doctor, the surgeon, eventually the surgeon sees me.
Yes.
It takes a long time. But he eventually does. And it's not his fault. I mean, he's behind. I was the third patient of his to come in like this, like off the street. Somebody I think had maybe messed up their scheduling over there that was
right.
new.
They were new. So
it happens, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not upset with the doctor at all. And he basically says to me, you've got a problem. And I don't know what it is. It seems like hemorrhoids, but it doesn't really seem like hemorrhoids at this point. And he was afraid I had an infection.
Right.
That was his big concern. So he said, we're going to make some calls. And he left the room. And you knew right away, my brain wasn't working. You knew right away he was calling the hospital.
Yeah. I knew you were being admitted. And I was grateful for that because I knew the only way you were going to get any sort of relief was with some intravenous medication.
Right.
And the only way to do that is to admit you to the hospital.
Right. And, you know, they always ask you, what's your pain level on a scale of 1 to 10? And honestly, my pain threshold is pretty low, and mm-hmm. I'm aware of that. And this time, the pain threshold, like that's a pain of 10 because in relative to everything else though I've ever had, right. like everything else now is like a 6. Like it just completely blew my pain scale.
I mean, it used to be you get a splinter and that was a 10. So this is,
that's true.
It's a whole new level for you.
That's true. And so I go to the hospital and
oh my gosh.
They don't have a room.
No.
So I'm now in the lobby of the hospital near admitting. And I am walking around, I'm making noises, I'm just doing, I have to get up, walk, sit down, nothing's helping. Usually with hemorrhoids, you can put like some pressure on it and it kind of gives you some temporary relief and nothing was helping at this point. And remember, I've not slept and really I haven't eaten at this point
no.
either. Other than a few hundred calories
right.
the day before. So I'm waiting and waiting, and they finally get me into a room, and they were like a SWAT team with getting an IV in me after they saw me and heard me.
Yeah, I've been in the hospital many a times, and it's always a chore to get the IV started. They got to get the orders. There, you know, several nurses come in to check all your vitals first and stuff, but for you, it was like
swarm.
Yeah, rules out the window. Get this guy started. We need to get something in him right away.
There was a bunch of comments about this is why men don't have babies
yes.
and all that.
Yes.
And I get it.
Right.
And I'm not saying that the pain I felt is worse than anybody else. I'm just telling you in my life,
right.
it was the worst thing I've ever felt in my mm-hmm. life. For me not to eat. Takes a lot.
That's a lot.
Right?
That's a lot.
For me not to sleep, I mean, at all. Like, I have some insomnia, but I mean, you got to grab a few Z's here
right.
and there. But I could do nothing.
Mm-mm.
And eventually, they get morphine into my body. They're telling me what else is going to go on. There's going to be a CT scan. I'm going to have to chug barium or whatever it
is. Yeah, but it was banana flavor.
It was banana flavored barium. The pain didn't subside. But I was calmer because
right.
of the fact that I have a bunch of morphine going
exactly.
through my body. But I can tell you, looking back on it, especially the pain was the same. Like
right.
it never subsided.
And the doctor was very clear about that. Like, listen, I'm going to give you something that's going to kind of fog your brain so that you don't really realize how much pain you're in, but you're still going
to
be in
at least to get you through
a ton of pain.
At least to get you through everything.
Exactly. So he was very upfront about that.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he sold you a you know bill of goods like, oh, we're going to take it
right.
away. No, no, you're still going to be in a ton of pain.
Right. And I'm not good with enclosed spaces, and I had to get a CT scan, which is not a hugely enclosed space, but it you know there's a small tunnel that you have to slide into or whatever.
But wasn't it just your bottom half, or did
they take things up and down?
Oh,
or whatever.
It goes all the way through. Okay, yeah.
But it's not you're not in the tunnel, right? It's
right.
just one cutout of it,
yes.
and it kind of moves or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy's like, you have to be 100% still, and I'm like, I'll do my best.
Yeah.
He's like, look, it's gonna be 5 to 7 minutes. Like, I just need you to be still. And it took everything I had to be still.
I mean, you were only gone for like 15, 20 minutes because my thought process was like, hey, he's going to be gone for like an hour. I'm going to catch an hour's nap.
Right. Well, and let's take, this is a good place to give a plug to my parents. I mean, my dad was there for us and my mom watched Michaela.
Yes. Yeah.
Spent the night here.
Right. So
and
that I
really
could be with
stepped
you.
Up. I mean, and my mom is in the middle of cancer treatments, right?
Right?
I mean, she's going through radiation now
yeah.
to try to finish off beating cancer's rear end. And
yeah.
it's just a big deal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes me teary-eyed to think about it now even. But if you don't have family
right.
and you don't have good friends, I mean, what are you left with?
Right.
So I'm not surprised they stepped up.
Oh, no.
It's just with how freely and loving everything gets done, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're blessed that way.
Exactly.
So I get done with that. And I don't remember much about overnight other than I didn't sleep. Not a wink.
Yeah.
So until they took me to surgery the next day, I'm tossing and turning and I'm doing my best, but I just can't, right?
Yeah.
I cannot stay still. I can't fall asleep because pain is bad.
You would like, you wouldn't fall asleep, but you would just get quiet
yeah.
for like like a minute and then you'd wake up.
Right.
So you had these like minutes of peace and then it was back to it.
Yeah.
Back to you moving around and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, and even so, right? So they get me prepped for surgery pretty early.
Yes. Because the doctor's like, his doctor was like,
you need to go there now.
You need to be waiting for me. That was like, you got to be ready for him. Because when he's ready, if you're not ready, he's moving on.
He's moving on. So I was down there and, I don't remember a ton of that, like time when I was away from the room.
Yeah.
They came and talked to me. You were still there at that point.
Yeah, of course.
I remember them coming and talking to me.
Mm-hmm. He was just kind of going through. You had the anesthesiologist talking about you. And then the doctor came in and talked about what he was going to do and what he potentially might have to do. And that's where I'm sure you remember the whole catheter discussion.
Yeah, that I do remember. The catheter piece, I do remember.
Where you were
I was like freaked out about that. Yeah. So I've got all this pain and I'm like, don't shove anything.
After the fact, the doctor's like, yeah, I kind of saw the look on his face. So he's like, I did everything within so that I wouldn't have to do that. He's like,
and that was great because it made the experience a little bit better. So they do the surgery and I get out of surgery. And of course, you're sitting there and you're just trying to get not to be cold and
right.
Whatever the three or five things you've got to do after surgery are before mm-hmm. you can go back to your room. And, I remember thinking, okay, I'm all right. Let's get this show on the road. And they were calling transport. And the only thing I remember is the guy next to me, I think he might've had an ankle issue or something. And he, they said to him, or he was moaning and groaning. And they said, hey, what's wrong now, basically? And he said, what can we get you? And he said, I need a cigarette. And the nurse is like, I'm sorry, but you can't smoke here. And he's like, well, aren't there smoking sections? Can't you wheel me to a smoking section? And she's like, no, one, it's a hospital. And two, there's oxygen all over the place. So no, we can't do that. And the dude argued with her for a while about getting a cigarette.
Yeah.
So that was entertaining.
Yeah, keeps you occupied.
And at that point, I'm done, right? And I'm waiting and I go back upstairs and you and my dad had talked to the doctor.
Yeah. So what they told us was going to happen we'll come out, the doctor will come out and talk to you about the surgery. And I've been on the receiving end of that talk because you've had outpatient stuff before and they come out and say, so we're waiting and it's like, they have a lovely board that tells you where you are. So I can see, okay, Pete's in the OR. Okay, they're closing Pete up now. All right, now he's in phase one, which is recovery room. So when you got to phase one, that's when the doctor was supposed to come out. Well, you were in phase one for like 45 minutes and the doctor was not coming out. So my brain starts freaking out because, the doctor said that you had this mass, and that's what he was calling it because he wasn't sure what it was. And I'm thinking, oh my God, it's something else. What's going on? Why is it taking so long? So after 45 minutes, they came out, the nurse came out and said, the doctor wants to talk to you in a private room. Well, at that point, I'm done. I'm like, that's it. It's cancer. I'm done. This is, my love. I don't know what to do. And your dad's like, no, that doesn't mean anything. He just, maybe wants to talk to him in private because it's a sensitive area, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, nope.
I mean, he didn't know I was going to come on a podcast and tell hundreds of people.
he had no idea. And so I was just, but that's where my mind went, But externally, I feel like I kept it together pretty well. But,
I wasn't there. I couldn't tell you.
But internally, I was freaking out. And the doctor, he came and talked to us and he said that he didn't think it was cancer, that he wasn't sure what it was because he's never seen anything like it. So I'm like, well, that's something else you always want to hear your doctor say. I've never seen anything like it. And it was the size of a golf ball.
Bigger than a golf ball.
But he said whatever it was, he got all of it. And that's all that mattered.
Yeah. So that the bottom line is they kind of cleaned me out there. And I'm stitched up there and I'm, 60 hours post-surgery right now doing a recording or whatever
right.
it is. Less than 60 hours post, and I'm sitting on a chair.
Right.
Painfully, but sitting, doing everything that I've got to do. And I'm thankful because I got the call today and indeed it is not cancer.
Yes.
And at that point, I went, okay, I can handle the pain in the recovery.
Yes.
It's going to suck, but I can handle that. I don't have to try to battle cancer too.
Right.
And I could, all I could think of is my mom and the other people that I know that are battling cancer or have battled cancer. Mm-hmm. And if I had it, I was resigned to the fact that I can't change the test.
Right.
Right. The test was going to be the results are the results, mm-hmm. but I'd much prefer this one.
Yes.
And it's okay mm-hmm. That I had that anxiety.
Of course.
And they still don't know if it was like just a hemorrhoid. You know, the pathologist said if it is, it's the largest hemorrhoid he's ever seen in his life. And he's been doing this a long time. Records.
Yay. Where's Guinness? Let's call him up.
It's a miracle I was walking, much less running.
Right.
And I do know how much that pain was. And I'm thankful that it was just a mass of some sort, hard as a rock in there.
Right.
I'm grateful that this surgeon, Dr. Moderano, stayed late.
Yes.
And I'm grateful that he pushed and got everything out. And hopefully this relieves some of these issues that I've had.
Yeah.
And as I lost weight, I kind of and ate differently and better. And I really thought this kind of stuff would go away, which is why I hadn't really gotten to take care of it more. I just mm-hmm. thought lifestyle changes would help fix it. And it may have, but it didn't in this case. And I don't know if the change in lifestyle exacerbated the issue or if losing weight made the thing move or
right.
I have no idea.
No.
All I could tell you is that it was terrible. It put me into emergency surgery, and I'm thankful that it's done.
Yes.
And, you know, I can't thank you enough for everything you've done for me and being there. And you've had to do some things like changing dressing in an area that's not so pleasant.
It's all good.
And we're really—
better or worse.
closer than ever. Better or worse. And it's been worse. I mean, I don't know really how to say this without it coming off wrong, but I'm grateful that I went through it now as I'm on the health journey.
Right.
Because it just pushes me to be better and healthier and more active. I can't wait to recover because one of the first things I'm thinking of is, oh no, I can't run my races.
Right.
And that might be stupid, but at the same time, running is somewhat therapeutic. It's at least part of a regimen that has helped me.
Yeah.
And I can't run. And I don't know when I'll be able to run. My guess is a month.
Yeah.
But
we'll
I don't know.
We'll know more next week when we have your follow-up.
Yeah, about just under a week and a half from now, we'll know more. Or about a week and a half from now, mm-hmm. I guess. We'll know more. But I won't be able to travel to Omaha and do that race.
Right.
You know, I still expect that you'll
go. It depends. We're playing it by ear.
I'm okay.
Michaela and I, we've had discussions about it and she wants to go.
she wants to see Grandma.
She
Barb.
Wants to see Grandma. And, you know, she was asking if Kitty Cat was going too. So the fact that she remembers last time we drove to my mom's and we brought Kitty Cat was
That's a pretty, very smart kid.
Very smart kid. I told her Kitty Cat is not going though. It's 4 days and Kitty Cat and you would be fine together.
We would.
Yes. You would be fine.
Can the cat change the dressing?
So, but we're playing that by ear. But
yeah, we'll play it by ear. And the other thing I had to do was spoil the surprise. I had been planning a surprise party for your landmark milestone birthday and had put together something pretty fun.
Yep.
But I won't be able to pull off a surprise in the condition that I'm in. I'm just going to be happy to be there and hopefully sitting downstairs. If I might have to just be down there sometimes and not others. I don't know.
Here.
But either way, you deserve the party with the friends and family that are coming. And there's a lot of people coming and kids. And I got a taco cart for you because you love Mexican food.
I do.
There's going to be a lot of Mexican food. And I don't know if I'll be able to eat any of it at this point. We'll play that by ear too.
Exactly.
But probably not given everything. So what this did for me also, this experience, it one, made me appreciate my family even more. Mm-hmm. And not that I didn't before, but you go through this and you really appreciate things, the sacrifices that your family makes for you. The other thing it did is make me think about these types of ailments, things like hemorrhoids.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about them in society.
Well, no, they're kind of gross.
Exactly. And normally here, I would say, but we want to hear from you. I do not want to hear your hemorrhoid stories.
No.
However, I would like to encourage everybody to open up to medical professionals and to get them checked out.
Yeah.
Because whatever happened to me, if that was a hemorrhoid that calcified or if it was a mass that moved, being benign, it doesn't really matter to me at this point what it was.
Right.
But you got to get checked out. And I have not been good about going to the doctor and getting things checked. And so when I do, it's always a one-off. So it's really tough to tell when things are going a different direction.
Right.
Instead, if I had been going regularly, I think that we would have discovered something just wasn't quite right.
Yep.
And we would have been able to take care of it. White blood cell count going up, for an example, right? And I didn't do it. So my big lesson is to encourage everybody out there. Everybody, take your health seriously.
Yep.
Take the lecture if you need to, which is why a lot of times I don't like to go to these professionals, right?
Because you
don't want, I don't want the lecture. Of course, I know what to do at this point.
Right.
Everybody knows.
Yeah, of course.
We just don't do it. And you telling me isn't going to help that fact.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, if you want to reach out to me individually, I'm more than happy to help walk you through stuff. Right? I don't want pictures or anything.
No.
But this has impacted me in a pretty profound way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so thankful. It was only what it was. And I'm out of the hospital and home.
Yep.
And last night we got home and I'm able to record the next night. It's not a miracle, right? It was the way things were supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. Somebody was looking out for me. And I thank the big guy for that.
Yes, for sure.
And I don't know if you get things checked out, though. I mean,
I do. I go every year.
You go and you've got a pretty, but it does take a fairly large ailment for you to go in between.
Yeah. I mean, if there's something, if I'm, if I have a cold or something like that, even though sometimes if I have a cough that lingers, I'll go to the urgent care. I'll go to the, walk-in clinic or whatever and have that stuff. But I'm first to go to the doctor in this family.
Well, that's how you know I was in bad shape.
Yes.
You combine all those things together. Although I didn't miss much with the Hawks game, they got trounced that night.
Yeah.
But it's over.
Yes.
In terms of the bad stuff. I mean, as soon as I got the pathology today, my mind was relieved just in terms of the unknown is what bothered me. I wasn't afraid of the treatments. I wasn't afraid of having to attack it if it was. I was afraid of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us live there.
Yep, for sure.
And not to be overshadowed, even without this, I had a decent success for the week in terms of weight loss.
Well,
but man, did this help.
You
don't recommend the diet.
You
don't sleep for 53 hours. You don't eat for, 30 or over 40, 42, 46, whatever
it
was.
I know.
That's amazing. You lose some weight. So, I'm not expecting it all to stay off. I'm expecting a small bounce back.
I'm sure.
Either way, though, I think I'll be down.
Mm-hmm.
And getting very close to that magical, 200 point and under.
Yeah.
And the scale, I did step on it and it did say under 200, but I'm not taking that very seriously.
Right.
Just given the circumstances.
You could be in Wonderland.
I kind of was today.
You're in Wonderland
technically,
today.
Right?
Yes. It counts.
But 5 pounds, 6 pounds, whatever it is of weight loss, 5 pounds, I think, is kind of a lot.
That's a lot in a week.
And I don't think that'll stay off.
Yeah.
But I also, it taught me that the way we eat is tough in a hospital.
It is very hard.
A lot of sugar in a hospital.
Yeah. Even for me, eating in the cafeteria, it was very difficult to find stuff to eat. And then watching Michaela eat her pudding was a little torturous because, as we discussed in the hospital, there's nothing like hospital pudding. Not sure why
I really
it's different.
Wanted that.
But it is different. It's different. It's just different.
I know. I really wanted that pudding.
And then she didn't finish it all.
So. And neither one of us ate it.
And we didn't. We just threw it away.
Which is a miracle.
Yep.
I was even just, I ordered yogurt and I was like, okay, how bad could yogurt be? 22 grams of sugar in that little yogurt. I ended up eating about half of it just because I needed something.
You had to. So you did, I mean, you did, you know, bend our rules to say, you know.
Yeah, I had some French toast.
You had some French toast, but at that point it was, you needed something in you.
And nothing sounded good.
And there was nothing that sounded good. And like you tried the scrambled eggs, but you said those weren't very good at all. And,
so
you had to do what you had to do. I mean, you just had to do it. There was nothing.
Yeah.
But it didn't change the rest of the day. I mean, so you had one instance of that. And then when we came home, you know, it's like, okay, what can we feed you? Well, let's get some yogurt. Let's get some full fat Greek yogurt. We'll get you some, I'll make a little frozen strawberries to go on top and some almond butter. So you went right back to, so it's not like you fell off the wagon.
No, I was tempted. I mean, my comfort food for years has been buttered noodles, right?
Yep.
Buttered noodles are my comfort food. Mm-hmm. And I am still, to this moment, I'm craving them because that's my comfort food, right? Mm-hmm.
I could try to make those noodles again that I did before.
No.
No? Oh, okay.
No, we'll butter up some zucchini or something.
That's what I was planning on doing.
But I'm proud of myself for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of you. You had an awesome week in terms of weight loss.
I lost.
And it wasn't, you didn't even have to have surgery for it.
No, I didn't eat though Friday. So because of all the doctors and running around, I had breakfast in the morning, but then I didn't eat again until the following morning. So that wasn't good on my part, but it was just because I was so concerned and there was so much going on.
Well, and part of being fat adapted like we're getting to and we are means that you don't get hungry.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably weren't starving.
No, I wasn't. The stress of everything going on kind of just didn't do that. Last night, I didn't eat dinner either. I don't know why I didn't, but I didn't. And I was hungry going to bed last night, but I was like, whatever, I'll eat in the morning. And that's what I did. But I lost 3 pounds this week.
That's big. I mean, so you're to a new low right now.
Yeah.
Not like, forever, but I mean, in terms of this journey.
Right. I am. I'm at 18 pounds, 18.6 pounds total.
That's phenomenal.
Loss. So, yeah.
And what are we on now? Week 12, week 13?
I think 12,
so, I mean, it's about give or take, let's just say 3 months.
Yeah.
I could go count up the weeks again
at
some point, but we're 3 months into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a good number.
It is.
3 months in. It's going to be interesting to see how this lifestyle holds with the changes that I've just got to make sure that I've got to get through this recovery.
Right.
I'll do whatever I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts. It hurts right now.
And so maybe this will be a shorter podcast.
It's going to be a shorter episode.
Yeah.
We'll get your views from the couch next time. In episode 8.
Yeah, and honestly, I probably couldn't even remember much what went on last week. So.
Yeah, your views were from a hospital couch. And the play-by-play of me moaning and groaning is not needed.
No.
That's probably going to be stuck in your nightmares for a while.
Yes.
Or, well, you tune me out pretty well.
I do. Comes in handy.
Yeah. I mean, I got to the point where I wasn't even embarrassed. That's how bad it was. Because I embarrass pretty easily.
You do.
And doing this episode took a lot of fortitude on my part. It took a lot of thought in the last couple of hours to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I said I was going to, but then I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to come on here and tell everybody about this type of an issue.
Yeah.
The reason we started this, though, was to be transparent and authentic and tell people what was going on. And there's people out there I know that can relate.
Yes.
I know they can.
Mm-hmm.
And if it helps anybody, then it's worth it. And
agreed.
Those have been the best things. So we've gotten two other pieces of communication. One more review that was just awesome. I'm not sure who they are, but the review was phenomenal on iTunes. And we also got an upgrade on iTunes to a 5th star.
Wow.
That's pretty big. So now we have 9 reviews.
That's awesome. They
are all 5-star reviews. And there's been an upgrade on Apple Podcasts. So now it took me a minute to figure out where the reviews even are. but they are there. And the last one I wanna look at it because I'm gonna read it.
Okay.
Live on the air. This
is
what can happen.
My goodness.
This is what can happen. So the username was, or is, not was, I'm sure there's still in existence, PWH Fan.
PWH.
5 stars. This is the only non-professionally produced podcast to which I subscribe. Nice.
Oh.
I don't know what made them think it's not professionally produced.
Hello.
They might be amateurs, but they are anything but amateurish. I think he's listening mostly to you, he or she. But they are anything but amateurish. The duo's open and honest discussions represent fat and formerly fat people well. The focus on losing weight comes from an emotionally and physically healthful perspective. Pete and Gretchen are the couple I hope to eavesdrop on during my next flight or solo dinner. Well, unless we're recording a podcast, you won't hear much. This is the only time we talk.
Price Waterhouse. That's PW.
No.
PWH. I know.
Fan.
I was trying to PWH. I was trying to think what PWH could stand for.
I don't know.
That's
I haven't thought
cool.
much about it, but it was a really cool review.
That's an awesome
I appreciate
review.
It. And,
yes, thank you.
We can use more and more of those on Apple Podcasts / iTunes, Podbean, and the other places we're found.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is we got a note from a woman who I don't know. And she just sent me a note via Facebook and said, hey, I just want to thank you guys for putting this podcast out there. I can relate a lot more to what you guys are saying than most other podcasts I listen to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently 417 pounds.
Wow.
I didn't get here overnight, and I know I won't lose it overnight. I went to do radical stuff. Mm-hmm. I think she was looking at lap band kind of stuff
right.
and decided against it.
Yeah.
And that's a personal choice.
Everyone makes
But she said that this, basically, she has used it for motivation to start walking.
That's awesome.
4 days a week, 30 minutes a day. And to start looking at other diet choices, including the one we discussed.
Yeah.
I told her before doing that, please go talk to a doctor.
For sure.
But it's pretty incredible to see that we've inspired people to move.
That's awesome.
Maybe we'll inspire you to move someday too.
Yeah. Stranger things happen.
And that's, I mean, one of the bigger weirdnesses, right, is the fact that I'm missing running so much right now, but I want to get back to it. But
yeah.
Walking is probably going to be the first thing I have to do.
Yes.
Maybe we could take some walks together, which we do enjoy.
We do.
But that was awesome to hear from
that's
her
amazing.
About that.
And good luck
and,
to her.
And Julie, who's been a fan from episode one, said that our podcast has helped her get her mindset right to get back into running.
Yeah.
And I know that her husband went through a surgery this week too.
Mm-hmm.
Our prayers are with both of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like he's doing well.
Great.
And they'll know more about prognosis and stuff, but hopefully Julie doesn't mind me saying that. We just want to let you know that we did see it and we're praying for him and for you and good recovery. So, but that's probably going to be about it this week, unless you got anything else urgent to share.
No, I don't. I think it's probably a good idea because you're pretty much due for your next dosage of medicine.
Yeah,
so.
I'm going to need that, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, let's wrap it up then. So
thank you
so much for listening to episode 7 of the Fat Man Chronicles. The music is by Safar. You got me wrong. Social media, you can find us on Facebook. Look up Fat Man Chronicles, or you can find us at facebook.com/fatmanstories, Instagram and Twitter at Fat Man Stories. You can email us fatmanchronicles@outlook.com. Find our website at fatmanchronicles.com. And of course, please listen to wherever you get your podcasts. Here's where we're at now. We've got some to add. So iTunes/Apple Podcasts, please, the reviews there are hugely helpful, although they are on every platform. And we've also, of course, been on Podbean. We're now on Google Play and Stitcher.
Yay.
So for amateurs,
yes,
we're actually getting ourselves out there a little bit.
We're getting there.
Those definitely help us. Reviews help us and honest reviews. I mean, they've been 5 stars so far, which we're grateful for, but we can take it. A little 1-star review doesn't hurt us. Although you probably won't be listening again.
Exactly.
So. Hopefully it's listeners that are doing it.
Yes.
But that's it. And again, thank you to my family and especially my wonderful wife for taking care of me this week so far and continuing to, because God knows the recovery. I'm a big
over.
Baby. But that's it. So go out there and just remember to be better today.
I was not hiding.